So let's. I think this is our last chair on mezuzah. After this, you still can't get smicha on mezuzah. We've only done one prat in mezuzah Rechod Adar. If you want to go, you know, get smicha on mezuzah, go talk to your madrichim. There are many other sugyas in mezuzah, but the last thing I want to do, which I thought just brings it together, is this. This is a tshuva. Which we've already alluded to by Marish Rabbi, by Rav Lichtenstein, which brings some of these issues together. Okay, so originally I wasn't going to spend a whole share on that, but I think I will, just because, you know, it's nice to read through modern Hebrew and you know, other squad goals,
yeah,
or whatever they call it. What?
This was modern Hebrew. Is this all your?
Yes.
That's not mine. That's not mine. This is.
Okay.
I'm aware.
No, you can't see right now.
Told you I'm blind.
Whoa. Okay. Nishalti. Okay, Rav Lichtenstein was asked. Nishalti binogel kviat mezuzab ale tzahal. Hasuyim mischoret barzanet. Habrushal gavim mizgeret tzinorot. Biyot haschora mishameshet kitikra tfanot vatzirot kemizot umashkof. Okay, so he was asked by these soldiers who made, you know, who were living in this, like, you know,
tent
of sorts, right? With a net on, you know,
a net over a pipe.
Yeah, net over. Yeah, exactly. Hashelat b'zal sveikoder kulchim b'vnei oel v'tashmok makom migurim kavur rai sveikod gluim v'netunim b'chod yoter daniim shekarega terem ala b'adi levararam. He said, "There's the shaila they asked. Now, this is just something you should always note: is that the job of a posek is mati
to get people to listen.
Good, and not only to answer the question that they're asked, but answer
all what they want, what they're really asked, what you want them to do, what they're really asking.
So that's sometimes, but it's really just to make sure they do the right thing. So in this case, these people asked Lichtenstein, right, technicalities about putting mezuzah on this tent thing, and he said, look. You're asking me because you assume that if this tent thing has a tzuras haPesach, that it will be chayiv in mezuzah. Right?" And he's like, "Honestly, I don't really understand what you're talking about." He's like, "I have not yet gotten into the deep." Right? So I don't feel bad because he got the shaila. He said, "I have not yet clarified what exactly you are talking about." But he said, the bigger question, before we get into the question of whether this tent thing counts as a structure, is whether in your current circumstance you are chayiv in mezuzah at all. Right? That's really the shayla. He said, let's try to understand it without paskening. Let's see a Rashi Prakim in Yonze. So let's summarize. And again, this is going to be basically bring everything together because I know it was a lot of information. So, when you look at the source for the mitzvah mezuzah, uchtavtem al mezuzot peitecha uvisharecha, write it on your
doorpost.
Good. Nitkal tekef umiyad besafek pashut. Right away, you have a doubt that arises. Beitcha, your house, harei tarte mashma, can imply two things. Makom migurecha, your place of residence, afilu einan shalcha b'dinei mamonot, even if it's not yours monetarily, ukmo l'dugma b'yachas l'val yirayo v'val yimatzei, said, for example, when do we understand buy it as residence?
Renting.
L'dugma b'yachas l'val yirayo v'val yimatzei, שנה פשוט שעבלת על הרמב״ן, שאין אדם עובר על חמץ שמחוץ לביתו גבולות, לא ימצא בדרכם כתיב, מכל מקום ועלי יעבור על חמץ שנמצא בדירתו, ואף אם אינה שלו בדיני ממנות.
Right? Mm.
Chametz, right? And then he said, if you really want to boil down this question, you have to realize that this all comes down to one word, which I think, if you haven't noticed by this point,
chametz?
Right? No.
It just appears a lot also.
No, the last four shirim are we at, or five shirim, I don't even know. Right? It came down to one word. The entire sugya comes down to one word. Be-cha. Right? Be-cha. I don't care. Be-techa. Ashkenazi, Sephardi, what do you want to write? Right?
Be-techa.
Be-techa, whatever you want. I don't care. Right? I don't care.
What do you speak of?
What?
I don't have this lisp that you speak of.
Not lisp. That's
it's a joke, kids. And I have
gefault. What you don't? There, you know, you're Moroccan. There are no Moroccans who do a thuf.
I don't do a thuf. It's there's sometimes a soft tuff, but it's not always. It's not always
a soft tuff.
Ha.
Tuff.
Anyways.
Okay.
So he says it comes down to Beit Cha. The first shaila is right. What does Beit Cha mean? It can either mean
what's yachas?
Relationship.
Right.
Right. Regarding to. Right. In relation to. Right. So it can mean your home, even if it's not your that which you own. It could be your home. Right. Right. Beit Cha can just mean your home. I'm going home. Right. That means I'm going home, whether or not. Right. Right. I assume some people own their house. Some people rent their house. But I assume everybody here, when they go back to their house, they say, "I'm going home."
Yes.
Right, or whatever you say in whatever language, whichever your first language is. I never remember which is your first. Which is your first language?
French.
French. Okay.
My mother's from France. So.
Okay. Whichever language you use more primarily, Mr. I know 17 languages. Yeah. I'm going home. Right. And he says, for example, by chametz and matzah, clearly the upshot is, or the intention is, home. Right, not like anything I own, but anything I'm responsible for. Right, that's why, as you all know, for all of you who are fabulously wealthy and go to hotel rooms, right, and are there hotels for Pesach, or work at the hotel in the case of Shimon, right? You have to check your room for chametz, even though you don't own it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's pretty easy as things go. Checking for chametz in a hotel room.
It's not too hard to check a hotel room. Like, make sure you get all the chametz out of the Holy Bible.
Nope. Yeah, exactly. Nope. 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 Done. Right?
Yeah.
You don't have to do bedikah for it?
Yeah, you do have to do bedikah, but how long does it take? In a cleaned one room structure.
Pieces, 10 pieces of like bread hidden in foil in a single room. There are really not many places that my mother can get creative.
And that's even if you want to put the 10 pieces. You don't want to do it with 10 pieces, you just want to look. It's like,
yeah, so like,
let's see. Right. On the bleached sheets? Nope, nothing.
Stand in one place and look at the
right. Oh, more likely, we're gonna find no chametz, no chametz, bed bugs. No chametz, no chametz. Right, like that's more likely what it looks like. Okay,
candy wrapper from the last person who stayed here.
Yeah. Mikomakom yavor al chametz mitzabed yirato v'avimeno shelo b'dinim and another v'chein lagabi yisur lo tavi toy v'al beitecha v'avledara suvim radam over midaraita av al bait. And he said the same thing is true, and this will tie in some of our other sugyas with the ownership of avodah zareh. Right, shehiya is allowing it to stay in. Right, he says even if, remember we saw this, it is a machlokes we showed him whether allowing a guy who rents a house from you to have avodah zareh there is daraita or darabanan. Remember this?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes?
Well, we did this just last week, so it's good chazara. Right? Rav Aaron says it's obvious to him that if you are a Jew and you rent a house and you bring an idol into your house, you violate midaraisa regardless of whether you own that house.
Yes.
I think that should be obvious to all of us, right? Don't do it. Right? Even if you happen to rent your house, don't bring in idols. Okay? I know there are certain things. You know, this is always funny. It's right, like it's like the classic weird like Musser thing. I don't know how this happened, that like all Musser schmoozes are like, if suddenly you're overcome with the desire to have a cheeseburger, it's like, who are you talking about? Right? Like, you're giving this in a yeshiva. Nobody has that taiva. There are many taivas they do have. That's not, but that's always the one they jump to.
Well, right? They also just like the crowd.
Well, they don't want to actually say, if you...
If you suddenly get the taiva to have sex, they don't want to just say that in a shir.
But they, you know, they don't want to say other things. It's like...
More modern yeshivot. Okay.
But like, why is it...
This has all been on... Oh my God, really? Are we going to...
It really doesn't matter. Donnie, it really doesn't matter. Honestly, look, I am comfortable...
Not subscribers, don't
worry. Donnie, I am comfortable saying... Donnie, I am comfortable saying, even on record, that realistically, anybody I have ever talked to and given a Musser Shmuz to is more likely to be tempted by sexual sin than eating a cheeseburger. I'm not saying they're going to succumb, but I'm saying of the things that they might have a taiva to, right?
Ain't gonna be a cheeseburger.
It ain't gonna be a cheeseburger. It just isn't. I'm just saying. It's just, I'm comfortable saying that even on record.
Wow.
Right? Oh, I know, it's super controversial.
You mean not a bold statement?
You know, I could say other things, but you don't hear people saying what they should be saying, which is like, if one day you have a desire to watch Game of Thrones, which is clearly Usher May Iker Hadin Likol HaPoskim, right? Right? That's what they should be saying.
The books
are probably just...
Are you silent?
No, the Game...
Oh, the Hobbit, okay.
Those are not the same.
I'm sorry.
Tolkien was a chacham.
Just all things on stuff not to look at.
George R. Martin was an erotic novelist who tried to just write really, really big erotic novels.
Look, I remember that there was a
George R. R. Martin just like,
who wrote Game of Thrones?
No, almost positive. Oh.
Look, I mentioned this to somebody. The Ray Wieder once gave a Sichas Musar on this, that he said someone mentioned Game of Thrones. I didn't know what it was, so I looked up on Wikipedia and I said, "Hey, this is Usher Maker I didn't to watch." And I was like, "What's he talking about?" So I looked it up on Wikipedia and I'm like, "Wow, this is Usher Maker I didn't to watch." They call it in. There is no shy left about this.
You're saying watching the show.
Yeah, I don't know what the books are like, but...
I mean, the books, anything that's depicted in the show might have a little bit more, but whatever is depicted in the show is also...
Oh, then that's also Usher.
It's also described.
That's Usher, that's obvious. Yeah. It's obvious. It's a Sifin Shulchan Aruch, you know, and Sifin Shin Zayin and Hillel Shabbos that you cannot read erotic literature. That's clear.
That's what it's meant to be, but like...
Well, it actually says romantic literature, but, you know, Kal Vachomer erotic literature.
As it turns out, it's very sophisticated, but it's just...
Correct, but the what it there is Divrei Chiba, right? Talking about romance.
You didn't about reading Kiss Me, Kate on Shabbat.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a book he has.
What?
Okay, we're gonna move on now. My point is that besides for wonderful people like Rabbi Wieder, who's actually really good at giving musar, right? Most people they come up with when they want to give the example of sins that people are tempted by, it's like cheeseburger. So like here, I feel comfortable saying like, it is usher for you to bring an idol in your house, and even though I know that none of you have ever had the taiva to be like, you know, oh my God, I need to go outside and bring into my rented house. I just need to bring in that statue. I need. It's like an overwhelming desire.
I need to go to that river at some point before Hoshana Rabbah and pray to it.
Look, there's a reason that Rosalovsky said he only once ever had an Asherah Shaila. I get that. How often does it happen?
Never.
Exactly. Well, apparently once. Once. Exactly. Exactly. Look, I've told you that you can every so often get a deserter shite list, but it's not so common. Anyways, so bet. Right? So one way of understanding is home. And in certain areas of halacha, clearly it means home in the sense of wherever you happen to live. Right? Don't bring an idol into your house, whether you own it or rent it. Right? Don't have chametz in your hotel room, in your whatever. Bet. Baira kanui lecha b'dinei mamanot. But sometimes beitcha means...
Your house, b'dinei mamanos.
Correct. Your house, not yours.
That you live in, but...
Right, not your home, but your property. Right? It's the way that both... I can say that the house is mine, and the bank can say that the house is theirs. Right? Zegam nachon, v'gam
nachon.
What? Correct. Right? The bank will be like, that's sort of mine. And I'll be like, it's sort of mine. Right? Gam v'gam nachon.
So it's not going to check the other 10 houses... On the basis that we assume...
For Chametz, Zavada, he has to check all 11 of his houses. Right?
That's why I have...
Wait, hold up. What?
200 people working for me. Well,
no? No, remember he has 11 houses?
The joke you made, he has 11 mansions.
Did you get all of them?
A butler, I've cleaned...
I mean, there's you know, halachot of what... I mean, you weren't there within 30 days. And, you know, and what if it wasn't a Machshav Machnei Mil Chametz and complicated stuff like that, but fundamentally. Fine.
Don't worry, I have cleaning service in each house.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Good, right? I'm glad that you don't have the stress on your shoulders of actually cleaning the 11
cleaning
houses.
Your house and putting your whole chandelier piece
I'm
by
telling
piece
you, at some point, there's going to be. You know, it's always possible that at some point someone will listen to the shir and believe it and ask, who is this Nachum? I have a shidduch for him. You know, 11 houses. I got a shidduch. Anyways, fine.
Yeah.
What?
That's the one. That's
I didn't.
You're gonna get like shit of calls after this year, or you're gonna get like shit of calls like keep these boys off the streets. You should go out. No one ever.
But anyway, so he says, "Umein din lachem ba'arba minim." Right? He says that's what you see by esrog, right? Where it's about who owns it, right? That's why you're not allowed to borrow it.
Right.
It can't just be something I'm allowed to use, right? It has to be mamish yours. Or adin she'enog b'matzah lo ne'emar b'matzatchem. Or what you would have said about matzah if it said matzatchem. That's a gemara m'sachem. And he says, v'taima rabba Yesh lechalek bin mezuzah bin chametz v'chadom. He said there's a good reason to distinguish and say that mezuzah is about your home, meaning where you live, rather than what you own. Right? Which, as we've seen, is the shita of Rashi, Rambam, Tosfos in his Hava Mina, the Tosfos rejects it lahalacha. Right? On a d'oraisa level. Right? Why is it nisvara that you would prefer the notion that it's about where you live rather than
where you, what you own?
What you happen to own. Right? You guys tell me. Again, this is bringing everything together. At this point, this shouldn't surprise you, even if it's a bit more clear articulation.
There might be like a mitzvah houses in there.
Shekein bivateichem ino chefta shalchivo ezor ele tnai hamagbil makom avere amashkein kein beis chad mezuzah amivava chefta shalav chala chovar hamezuzah. So there's a difference. When we say don't have chametz in your house, what do we clearly mean?
You don't have chametz in your house.
No, we mean don't own chametz.
Yeah.
Right. And when the Gemara, when the pasuk says in your house,
oh,
it doesn't mean your house. It means
that's kind of
your possession.
But think about it. It means your backyard. It means your front yard. It means your house. It's giving. It's listing you, right? All the places you might have put chametz is like if I tell you, right? What Rav Lichtenstein saying is chametz is fundamentally about
to avodah zara.
What?
So you can apply the mashmos to avodah zara too.
No, he says. No, it's the other way, right? No, he says the other way. He says chametz is about don't own chametz.
Don't own it. Okay, fine.
Right, and therefore,
as own.
No, right? No, so he's saying, look, I understand why beitcha by chametz means whatever you own.
Right.
Right.
Toeva, it's not like that.
One second.
He's not going to say that.
No, I'm sorry. Is that what he's saying? Is that what he's saying? One second. No, that's right. Other way around. It makes sense by chametz, it's about your home as well, right? Because it's wherever you have chametz.
Right.
Right? It doesn't matter whether you own the house or don't own the house.
Wherever you have chametz.
Right? Whether you have chametz. Right. It could be the place you own. It could be the places you live. It could be the places you're visiting.
Right.
Right? The point is,
don't
have chametz around. Right? As opposed to mezuzah, where Tosfos can at least, it's flipping. He's saying even within Tosfos, right? By mezuzah, you're talking about a Jewish home rather than, I'll put it differently. Chametz is clearly about the gavra. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's wherever you happen to be, don't have chametz. By it, you can distinguish and say, maybe it means the house that I own, meaning a Jewish owned house, maybe it means a Jewish inhabited house. He says, "Upul Chazi Shagabe Chametz Atzmos from our very Shanshino Brumel Chametz Shaklan the Bedine Mamanos with Kol Shekin Shalom Mamish Nismite Michel Cha Yatarov Atarosham Shagaboa Vim Kain Yishlomer Shabet Chad Mezuzah Makbil Chametz Atzmo Velola Makom Shihiato." And he says, "I'll prove it to you because Chametz really what's problematic about Chametz is owning the Chametz, not really the space. It's about owning the Chametz."
But if it's in your house, it's considered
yours. Right, if it's in your house, it's yours.
Right.
Right? But that's why we have psukim that say, but if a goy puts his chametz in your house, right, that's a different story. Uh-huh. As opposed to mezuzah, the chov is on the house. Right? Meaning, as opposed to chametz, where it's not really on the house, it's on the chametz, wherever it happens to be.
I mean, you still have the idea that you're allowed to lock things up in your house.
No! Whoa! If you ever lock up chametz in your house, ever, and you haven't sold it, and that's not why it's... yes.
But it's in your house. The idea that it...
No, it's not in your house. You are wrong. You are wrong. You are absolutely wrong.
Okay, but that's...
No, you are wrong. You are wrong.
I'm not denying that.
If that's what you think it is, you have violated Israel chametz every year.
What you're saying right now,
you rent out the house. You rent out the house.
You do rent out the house as well.
You rent out all the spaces where the chametz is. That's part of the contract.
Okay. The spaces in which there's chametz in them, not the entire house.
Correct. Where the chametz is, because so that it's not in your house.
What do you mean my cellar entire house?
If you're not home, that's fine. Says va'af below chiluk kaze kashekam uvan megonda lemem il melthi. Says either. Anyway, you can't really compare. Well, chenish la stabeg v'etzem chiluvam mezuzah. You have to ask mezuzah. Im chalal bayit kanui olavem ma'akom megarim. So you have to ask. Okay, if mezuzah is on the house and here's in the house rather than on something else, so that's why we have to ask. Does it mean home, meaning where you live, or what you own? Now he said, I'll point out. First of all, everybody understands that it's also where you live. I mean, this is one directional. Remember, we've said this 100 times. Right? Tosfos says you need living and dwelling. Some Rishonim saying you only need dwelling. Nobody says owning without dwelling.
Okay.
Right? Nahum's 11th house, which he only has for pride, right? And no one has ever lived there. Everyone is maskim, is not chayiv.
Just the 11th, the other 10 you use.
The other 10 you use, Avada. It's only the 11th.
There's a lot of Nahum to go around.
Yes. She'al zek farkavar of Misharshi Shamaskim as Chavir Potter Mimizuzash. Mizuzah Chobadar here. And he said that's a Gemara, right? That the land, that the landlord, if he doesn't live there at all, so it's not his obligation. But the opposite is where you get the suffix. So now let us move through this relatively quickly, right? Because you've seen all these sources. I hope. Right? So first he says, what source did you look at? Right? To figure out what is the nature of the chiyuv. So source one is Beit HaShutfin. Right? This was the Gemara B'Tzon Chulin. Right, so the Gemara says that Shutfin, two Jewish partners, are chayev. So he says, according to the Hava Mina, there's a need in a Kenyan. Right, you might have thought that what was the Havamina? The Havamina was that you need real ownership. And maybe, even though it's not impossible to say this, ownership of partners isn't real ownership. Right? But in terms of dwelling, right? Right? Rilohantin says the Havamina, right, clearly seems to focus on ownership. He says, look, it is true that if you are a partner in a house, right, monetarily, that you own it less because 50% belongs to Dani and 50% to Nachum in house 12, right? He has 11 of his own and one that he shares with Dani, right? But when it comes to living in your house, the fact that someone else lives there does not minimize your living there. How do I know?
It's still yours.
Yeah, and for example, how many of you don't say I'm going home simply because you don't live in a bachelor pad?
Oh, I kind of went here. I say, yeah, I'm going home now.
Yeah, right? He said, I'm going home to his dorm. Or even when you're at home, like your parents' home, do you say, I'm not going home? Well, it's not really my home. It's our home.
Folks' place.
Right? No, you don't say that, right? The fact that multiple people live in a place doesn't make it less your home, right?
To the dorm.
Is that what you say? You don't say, I'm going home? Okay,
dorm.
At your house. Do you not say,
Migdal?
Oh, but there are other people who live there?
Apartments. Right. We don't have dormitories.
That's the point. That if it's, right, that if the Hava Amina, listen, guys, Rilochantin says the Hava Amina that Shutfin would be exempt seems to be based on what? The claim that it's about ownership. Because yes, it is true that if I own a house, right, if I own $1 million house, then I own $1 million worth of the house. If I am a partner, I only own 500,000.
Not actually.
Right? But if it's a question of what is my home, if I live there by myself, or I live there with my wife, or I live there with my kids, right, you keep adding people and it'll still be our home. Right? It doesn't become less my home every time I have another kid.
Doesn't mean,
right?
That even though it's not even yours, let me say you're just being there. You're just presently putting people there.
No, we mean literally where you live. I'm not saying like you happen
okay,
to.
Yeah.
He no, but he's saying the Hava Mina that Shutfin would be exempt seems to be based on ownership.
No, let me
say. The Hava Mina that Shutfin would be exempt was based on ownership.
Yeah.
But the Maskana, that is not true, that even if you have multiple Jews living in the same house, they're Chayev. Right, seem to be based on the notion that it's about where you live, about dwelling, right? Your home, not your own, the house you own, your home.
Yeah.
Because no matter how many people you put in there, right, if that's where you live, that's where you live.
Let me say, I'll give an example here. Let me say people go like every year, you know, to a certain place for Pesach, an hotel. So they'll say, this is my hotel, you know, because they're putting a sort of, you know.
Yeah, but they won't say it's my home.
Yeah, I don't call it my home. I mean, they're my Pesach friends. It's like the Pesach hotel, but it's not my Pesach home.
No, he's just saying, like, if you have a family living in a house, right, they call it your home, even though there's multiple people living there, right? And even if you had a two families living in the home.
Yeah.
Right?
That's not true. I do. You don't say that?
No. I say I'm going to the dorm. I don't say I'm going home.
That's very nice. Except you don't have a dorm. You have a 5-bedroom house.
Yeah, we live in a house.
Make so why are you calling it a dorm?
Sign up.
Woo.
You're cool.
Right. So he says, he said, if you're talking about your home, who cares that someone else lives here? So falo gar uvein b'bayit ubit chamikri. It is still yours, right? Shimon treats his dorm as his house, even though, unfortunately for Shimon, other people happen to also live in that apartment.
I know. Jeez, it's rough.
He says, "V'av sheish makom lom sheish lomar sheish lachaleg mchana ichutid v'indira pratid amuvei arba amot shel adam shen ach v'rak shelo levein makom megarim mishudav." He said, "Even though there is a difference, you could say there's a difference between my space, my bachelor pad, right? It's an expression.
Okay.
It's like where a single guy lives, right? It's sort of a slang expression, which I'm using jokingly here.
No,
no.
What? Why do you always do that?" Gives a good example, and then you give a bad example. Why do you have to do this, man?
Okay.
No, a man cave is just like a disgusting room that, for some reason, rich people have in their houses. For no reason whatsoever.
Chiluk de nerachot me'asher chiluk miskeret balud v'kinyan.
Oh my gosh.
Right? He says...
Person study. Sorry. Anyway.
Right. He says, however, Elashish Lomar says a rock lafia avamina. That was the Havamina. Avlimis gonna bait should fin chayav. When you say that a house owned by partners is obligated, itachin shalo rock agdara by Ruchaval Shbichlal ain sorech levailud va kol taloy bidira. Says there's two ways of taking the maskana. One is that it's all about your home. The second is that it's about home plus ownership. Right?
Yep.
He said, this seems to be talu in a machloket between the Mordechai and the Rashba. Yep. Remember, yep. If you have a Jew and a non-Jew living in a house, right? So first he quotes the Mordechai. So let's skip down 6 lines because you know the Mordechai, right? The Mordechai says that if a Jew and a non-Jew live in the house, are you chayav or pater?
Putter.
Haresh la daughter of Chaim. Af. Yes, that's right. Av maskana yeshut v'davatar yeshut tevet akum. Shutafat akum. Mistaber shezem yidin avkat baylon. Kmo shar shut v'ad akum avteret legabe kama mitzvot sham bechulin. So he says he thinks that according to the Chaim, it's about ownership. Now we suggested something else, right? Which is no. Maybe it's really about living, but it's about. Right? But, I argued maybe that's not true. Right? Right? Luchamtin says, the court, right, the way he wants to understand Reb Chaim Cohn is that he's understanding it based on ownership. I said, maybe not. It's just that whenever you have a Jew and a non-Jew living together, right, that may make it a Jewish inhabitants. Not a joint inhabitants, which means it's not exclusively Jewish. So he says, okay. She'ein midin dira echtafkia no chachura akum chobar Yisrael adar. Ubefran mechem she'ein shu tafut Yisrael poteret the muchach she'ein shu with Yisrael pratit mamash. He said the problem is, right, the reason he goes in this direction is because he said it's clearly you don't need just a personal private owner, place to live. Im loshen chok lomar she'ish din dira Yisrael b'cheftza shel abayv lo miparafka chobar agavra hadar. Azen nireh dachuk, right? But you could say that you need a din dirat Yisrael in the house, which is the way I took it. But Reb Chaim doesn't like it. I still like it, but, right? Whatever, meaning, the difference is, Reb Chaim raised this as a possibility. I raised both possibilities. I like this one, he doesn't, okay? But, right, so he says there's two ways of understanding the Mordechai. Right? One is to say that the fact that, according to the Mordechai, that if a Jew and a non-Jew own a house together, that makes it putter, he thinks pushes us towards the notion of defining the house by ownership. Right, I said, maybe not. Maybe, right, even though it's true that when two Jews live in the house, it's a Jewish dwelling, right? Maybe when it's a Jew and a non-Jew, it transforms from a Jewish dwelling into a joint dwelling, which is going to be pater from mezuzah. But either way, the Reb Chaim Cohn says that it is pater. Who says it's chayav? The Rashba. Right? The Rashba. Now, I said that this was because I thought the Rashba went in the direction of the Gavra. Right? Rav Lichtenstein says maybe it's because he totally focuses on Dira. Right? Namely, on your home. Right? Meaning, Lichtenstein said maybe even the Rashba thinks it's about buy it. It's just about what is a Jewish dwelling. And the Rashba thinks, look, as long as a Jew lives there, this is now a Jewish dwelling. The fact that a non-Jew also lives there is irrelevant. Right? Which would pull the Rashba maybe back into the Bayit camp. Right? I'm not 100% sure. Now he said, however, even though by Shutfut Ray could go either way, he said clearly by Socher, this conversation comes up much more explicitly. Because, and now I'll summarize the next paragraph outside, because Tosfos explicitly says he has two possibilities, right, in terms of ownership versus dwelling, right? Tosfos, right, remember we said this before, that Tosfos does not raise the possibility at all that mezuzah is about chovat on the person, a chovat on the person. He says it's clearly about house. What are his two possibilities?
It's on
ownership and dwelling, midaraisa, dwelling midarabanan, or dwelling midaraisa. Yes, remember this?
Yes.
Right, those are the two possibilities in Tosfos. Skip down to the next paragraph. He says, Shitata Rambam Mazena Rura Lachalotin. He said, so Tosfos clearly Lamaskana thinks that it's on the Bayit and it's about ownership. Right? He says, the Rambam is not clear. Right, the Rambam says, Mesem Lashono, Hamaskir by the Chavaros, Socher Lahavi Mizuzal, Kvota, Filu, Hayam. Notain schar al kviu. Tam nisham zuzu chobara daru ben chobara bayit. Mashma lehedyesh chobara socher himi daraisa. It sounds like it's on the renter. Chen mashma shalo hisker baylos bereish. Perek va b'shim natanayim anechutzim l'chai beit bayit mezuzah, l'chiyuv rather. Bayit mezuzah, that's just a typo. He said, similarly, right, the Rambam doesn't mention ownership as one of the qualifications for mezuzah. Unless you want to say that he's only talking about what type of house rather than what type of ownership. He said, however, even within the Rambam, you could understand this in two ways. One is that it's only about living. The other is that maybe renting, as we've seen, as we saw last week in the context of Avodah Zarah, is considered quasi-ownership. Right? Right? Meaning, even if you think that it's about ownership, you don't have to come to Tosfos' conclusion. You could just expand the notion of ownership. Right? Meaning, Rav Lichtenstein is adding several dimensions here. Right? He's saying, right, that even if you accept the notion that it's about ownership, you don't have to come to Tosfos' conclusion. You could say that the reason a renter is chayiv is because he really owns it for these purposes. And he said, "I am the Karen Ora, because of Kach Midaito." And that's what the Karen Ora says. He says, "Al Karch Nir De Mezuzah V'Titzes Din Echad Lohem Dimei Meshulam Oschurim Chayvim Min Atorah Dizemikrit Kusuzcha V'Itzcha Kevin De Baliado Yedeshelo Oschiras Oschiras L'Yom Memkaru." But that's what the Karen Ora says. The reason you're chayv is not because you only need dwelling, but because for these purposes it's considered ownership. So Ayotse Midvareinu Sheish Kan Shilat Shidot. If you lost him a little bit, here's his summary. There are three possibilities. Aleph. Shadira below Kenyan Mechayevit Vesokar Chayev Midoreisa. One is that it's only about living, right? And therefore a renter is Chayev Midoreisa. Two is Ein Chayev Midoreisa B'Tzeir of Diru Bayev Mechlete Vesokar Rak Chayev Midorabanan. The second is the position of Tosfos, which is ownership plus living, and therefore a renter is only Midorabanan. Or a third possibility, which we haven't explored until now, which is Yesh Sorch B'Tzeir of Diru Baylos, you need both living and ownership. But it's a lower level ownership, and therefore a renter is in owner for these purposes.
How would it be an owner of both?
The same way we saw last week, right? The Shach says the reason that nowadays a renter is, you're allowed to have a renter who might bring up a desire, is because it's his. right?
Because
rent,
yeah, because
of, rent, but certain types of rent count as ownership, right? For certain purposes.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, now that's all right. Right? He says, we said, but then you have to move to the Rabbanan, right? When we say, according to Tosvos, that a renter is chayev mi the Rabbanan, there's two ways of taking that. And remember, we saw this last week. Right? What are the two ways of taking it? Either to say that the Tosas think that midaraisa you need two qualifications, midarabanan you only need one, right? I mean, midaraisa you need ownership plus it's your home, right? You're dwelling there, and midarabanan even just dwelling, or we did this a few days ago,
yeah.
Or what? That midarabanan we expand the notion of living, sorry, of ownership to include the place where you happen to live. Right, that midaraisa it needs to be your house. And midarabanan, we expand that. That means not just the place you own, but the place you
live in.
Okay. Now he said, with all that background, skip to the end of the page. He says, with all that background, Lo'or Yisodot Hanal, let's try to take everything we've learned the last few days and bring it to this Shaila. Okay? Right, so we're talking now about this army guy's house thing, tent thing. Said the best example I got is a shayla which we haven't dealt with in Acharonim is, do you have to put a mezuzah on your prison cell if you know you're going to be there for a heck of a long time, right? You are there for the next 25 years, right?
So the Yitzchak Rabin guy is a, has a mezuzah on his cell.
I don't know. That's the shayla we're talking about now.
No, I feel like
what about
a little similar to a hospital?
Why did you jump to that one? What about all the American white collar criminals who were there for?
They were Jewish. I don't,
you mean the Jewish prison in upstate New York, where it's kosher food and daf yomi? Yeah, that one.
I didn't know it was a kosher prison. You really have? I don't know if that's a good thing or.
It's a terrible thing. I want to be clear. That is an atrocious kill Hashem.
That they have daf yomi and a Jewish.
Yes, that is atrocious.
It's horrible. The fact that there are that many Jewish prisoners who are screwing the government
and our lomdei Torah,
to the point where they were that many that they were able to do that.
There shouldn't be enough prisoners.
Like, okay, now that it's happened, it's like, oh wow.
It's
great,
good that they
support. No,
it's not great.
It's
like
good that they supply it from them. Like,
their daf yomi is bigger than it is
here
in most shuls.
In most shuls, yeah.
I'm saying like it's bad that it happened, but it's good that.
No, it's not good. There's nothing good about
the
that.
Learning. Why is that a bad thing that they're learning? Like, why are they? Bad that it already happened.
You're right. It's better that it's better than them coming, making gangs and shanking each other in the bathroom. But like, no.
God.
Shanking is where you stab. Stabbing.
Yeah.
For anyone who thought I was making some other reference, that's not what I meant. Shanking is stabbing. Shanking is stabbing with a knife, like a sharpened toothbrush on the concrete. That's what it is. Everyone listening to this recording.
Anyways.
If you thought anything else, you're a perv.
The answer is, the point is, right? This is a bad thing. But, Imkvar, this already happens.
I'm talking about someone else. I'm talking about. It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Okay.
I'm just trying to make an innocent joke.
Okay. Are you chayev?
Prisoners.
Look. Move on. Okay.
It's a yaili over there if you want a pack of cigarettes.
Look, it is always a chel Hashem when there's an article in the New York Times about the Jewish prisons. You know, it's like, you know, there's like.
It really helps us fit our stereotype.
Yeah, it's really terrible. V'yon b'shut Shar Ephraim, Shanisha lakach, v'heishiv, and this is what the Shar Ephraim said, b'tamtida kitzur, nira lafia niyadati, sheyesh lavi raya l'din zemin gemara diyoma, my lishkas parhedrin chayim b'mezuzah v'kamivikle idiras b'alkar chayev b'mezuzah in sham. He said the Gemara asked this question by the lishkas parhedrin, right? That's where the Kohen Gadol was put, right, in preparation for Yom Kippur. And the Gemara's shayla was: is a place where you're forced to live against your will, is that called your home? Ubana v'haga hevi smuchen l'dvarav. So his keram shirin zanoim shlo de adira bal karacho. Aresha pasuk was that kerabana v'esh chiyuv kan. He said that the Rambam paskin, seemingly like the Chachamim, that even if you're forced to live against your will, you don't want to be there, it's still your home.
Does he plan on getting out eventually, or?
Hara zu lo nu kabla ye kol akharim. He said, but not everyone agrees to this. V'yon b'berke Yosef l'chida, right? The Berke Yosef, right? The chida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai. Right, Shehevi B'Shem Bala Beit Hillel, Liftar Mibnei She'em Bezerim Dirat Kavod. Beit Hillel said, that's not a respectable place to live. But the Chida said, who cares if it's respectable or not, but I think it's possible for a different reason. So the Chida says, look, remember, we saw this already in the Avni Nezer, that sometimes, even if you're going to live there for a long time, remember we saw this, right? That it's not just enough, it's not just about how long you live there, it's what type of living is it? And he says, right, well, it's not just about how long, it's about what type of living, and therefore he said, the rehab center, he says, it's not permanent, called permanent living, even if you're there for a long time. Well, that was the Avni Nezer, right?
That could give this other example.
No, but that was what his example was, right? The Beit Cholim, which I assume is more like rehab center. Now we're doing prison, right? So the Chida says, look, prison isn't meant to be permanent. No matter how many years you put the guy in there, right? It's not meant to be permanent.
What, because dying at death row counts as if like he's not his temporary living?
No, because you're supposed to get out of prison.
No, what if you're sentenced to life?
Yeah, you're supposed to. Most people, prisons aren't bikaron for people with life sentences. Even there, they don't necessarily stay in that cell, right? You know, they act like up hospital every 10 years, and they throw them in the inhumane punishment of solitary.
I would love right? that.
You wouldn't.
People lose their minds very quickly.
You should go and stay in like within an hour.
Trust me, I know from experience.
Ach, lechora, kulam idalmu menakuda. Hayisodidim shar lechayv dira below kinyan. But he said, none of them ever said, wait a second. Wait a second. You don't own the prison. Do you need to own it? Said, what you learn from that is that everybody agrees that at least midrabanan, it's about where you live. Guys, it's about where you live and not what you own. Because you don't own prison. Right? The prisoner doesn't own his cell. Right? You need at least some level of ownership, which you get by renting or even borrowing a house. But prison is even less than that. Right? So he says, so Ruchlantin says, right, when we say that a renter is chayiv, does that mean that we gave up on the notion that you need any ownership? And we just say, look, you're chayiv either midarais or midrabanan in a place which is Jewish inhabited? Or do we say, you need some level of a tvisa? Right, he says the majority of Achronim say Lamaskana, it's just a place where you live. Right? The current Ora doesn't like it. Okay. Then he quotes several other sugyos, the Gemara in Yom Daf Yud, of the Lishkos on the Beis HaMikdash. Let me skip down a little bit here. Go to the last big paragraph. Okay, what's his muskan? He says, "Achlamito shel davar nireh she'ein lahav yirayel shel dinim zogan." Now, nevar mine yesh makom iyun. Okay, I don't want to get too much into this. So you have the Kohen Gadol. See? Okay, let's just go to the end paragraph, okay? So he says, Acher shel nefarish p'tur maskir. Said, look, however you, in the end of the day, understand the p'tur of the landlord. Kol sheyachet o tzibor mishtamshim v'vayit laharachat acherim. והם חייבים לקבוע במזוזות, אף שאחרים פטורים. וכן מנין דידן, אף לדעת סוברים שדירה בלא בעלה פטורה אפילו מדירה בנן, היינו מצד החיילים הפרטיים, אך הציבור צהל או הממשלה ודאי חייב. So here, Rav Lichtenstein makes a move that we haven't seen yet. Right? I mean, so far, let's summarize what we've seen. Right? So first question we dealt with extensively was, is it about the person or about the bayit? Within bayit, we said there's different ways of understanding that. Right? There is owned, lived in, and then the middle, and then Rav Lichtenstein is including not just owned or lived in, but middle categories. Right? Like renting, which might be a quasi-ownership. Right? Which might be daraisa, might be derabanan, etc. But then Rav Lichtenstein introduces a new kasha, right? And this is how he comes to his conclusion. He says, wait a second. In addition to the shaila, right? Yesterday we talked about, what about the rehab center, right? Or what about the prison? Where all these poskim say, look, you don't really own it, or it's not, right, that's Karen Ora, or look, it's not really even your inhabitants, right? Because, you know, right, like the rehab center, right? It's not really your inhabitants at all, right? Even if you're there for multiple months, right?
Right.
But Rav Lichtenstein said, really, you got to flip the shot, then you got to say, wait a second. So that might be true from the vantage point of the specific person. But let me ask you a bigger kasha. Let's say that you paskin like the Avnei Nezer, that a person in a rehab center doesn't have to put up a mezuzah, right? So according to that argument, what if a Jew owns the rehab center and all the patients are Jews? Does that mean that no one needs mezuzah? Because the owner doesn't live there and the people in the rehab center are...
It's like a teku that Korach asked. Like, if there's only a room full of Sefer Torah, do you need a mezuzah in there?
Okay. Can we just get back to our question now?
It has a similarity.
No. I'm sorry.
You don't see it?
This happens all the time, right? A person owns a nursing home or a rehab center. Uh-huh. He is Jewish. Especially and many of the patients are Jewish, or all of them, because it's kosher.
Especially in America.
Right? So Rav Aaron says, wait a second. According to the Avnei Nezer, right, are you going to tell me that you don't need a mezuzah anywhere in that nursing home? Right? Because the owner is Jewish, but he doesn't live there. And everyone agrees that you need to also live there. And according to Avnei Nezer, any rehab center or something like that, which is by its definition transient, no matter how long people are there,
does living count as
their potter? What?
Does living count as like job work? Maybe his office door would have his office, the door inside to his office.
No, let's say he's never there. His office is down the street.
Oh,
right.
Probably that office may have a mezuzah.
Fine, but that's not what we're talking about, right? Let's say okay, fine. Here's the shaila. Okay, let me change it. Okay. Jewish-owned nursing home. All Jewish patients, non-Jewish workers. Okay? So all the offices are non-Jews. Right? Does any room in that entire building need a mezuzah?
Probably not.
So Lichtenstein says, he's mechadish, maybe not. Maybe yes. Meaning, maybe that analysis is wrong. Right? Why? Because he says, look, maybe just like there's a chiyuv on the individual, there's something called a communal chiyuv. Namely, that if a Jew owns property or is responsible for property where Jews are going to be living, then even though the people living in those rehab centers may not be chayav, right? Correct, right? And he says, right, that's quite a chiddush. Right, but what's Rav Lichtenstein really suggesting, which I think is a big chiddush we haven't seen yet, which is, if the real definition of mezuzah is what? Is Jewish inhabitants. So, there's really, right, so you could get that through ownership, you get that through living there, but you get that through a third category, which is, Jews always live there. In a Hanami, every specific Jew who lives there is there only temporarily, but it's a Jewish dwelling, objectively. Right?
Yeah.
Should I repeat that?
No, I got it.
Did everyone else get that? Right? Rav Lichtenstein is suggesting a chiddush, which is, look, something could be your house because you live there. Something could be your house because you rent it. And you could say that maybe an individual person in a Jewish hospital doesn't really live there, so doesn't need a mezuzah. But if you have a Jewish hospital with Jewish patients in and out all day, so not any given one of them is this his home? So no one, no particular Jew you could point to and say, it's his home and he needs to put a mezuzah. But the structure is clearly a Jewish home. Right? Meaning, let's try it again.
You house and yes, you put a mezuzah.
Right? Or let me put it differently, right? In Toronto, we have fully, I assume other places also, fully Jewish hospitals, kosher hospitals or kosher right rehab centers or right nursing homes, stuff like that. Right? So yeah. You have, right, Naniach, you have a rehab center, which is kosher, and therefore, realistically, what?
What was the one you said as an example?
I just said, in Toronto, we have one. Baycrest, okay?
Yeah, Baycrest, right? Your grandmother's in
it. Okay, right?
A nursery home?
Yeah. It's a hospital. Nursing. A nursing home, you know, whatever. So, because it's kosher, right? So let's say it's majority, if not entirely Jewish. Right? I mean, not the hospital. The hospital at this point is not, but a lot of the living quarters really are majority, if not entirely Jewish. Right? So imagine, right? You have a rehab center. It's owned by Jews. It's kosher. And therefore, its clientele is Jewish. Right? Rav Lichtenstein says, wait a second, can you call that a Jewish... Or, I'll flip it. Can you plausibly say that Baycrest is not a Jewish home? Right? Right, he's saying it's owned by Jews, only Jews live there, but no specific Jew lives there, b'kviut.
It looks Jewish, smells Jewish.
Correct. Jewish. So he says, I think in that case, right, if the real yesod here is what defines a Jewish house, right, so yes, we've had sveikot, owned, lived in, owned and lived in, but he said, what happens if it's owned by Jews, it's lived in by Jews, right? It just happens to be that no specific Jew can call it home. But the Jewish people, the only people who ever call it home are Jews, even though no specific Jew calls it home in any, right? In perpetuity. Right? Can you tell me that's not Chayev? He said, obviously Chayev. Obviously the proprietors of Baycrest have to put up mezuzahs. Right?
The entrance has mezuzahs.
And every room! Go there. Every room has a mezuzah. Tamimly.
What?
Trust me.
No, the one time I went to see her, we had the room was closed. I didn't see it. I think maybe it was on the inside.
So he says, Achatzibur, Tzal, Omem Shalaf, Adachayav. So therefore, in this case, with the Chayalim, he says, look, if you have these structures that soldiers are in and out, so given, one soldier is there for 5 days, 10 days, 20 days, maybe he's not Chayav. But 365 days a year, there are Jews in it. So obviously, the army, if you have a permanent structure, should put a mezuzah. He says, El Shadaus, Rashid, Zavar, Machan, Etzal, Nechshav, Kishal, Bailim, Nikarim, Dumyan, Deshudim, Deknesset, Dekfarim, O Kishal, Bailim, Shin, Mikhudam, Dumyan, Zagan, Dekharim, Kudiz, Utli, Bashelah, Makifot, Yoter, Vakmal. He said, maybe according to Rashi, there might be some stuff fake. The Afledat Shari Chonim Adayin Shar Nukudat Safek Hu Lagabe Abracha. He said, however, there is a Safek, and that's for the bracha. Because the Datam Barush Lesh Gvob Bracha. Klomer Epad Achiv Yisudi Kamor Pratim Nogim Etiva Bay Vadiyor Mivne Mezuzah Mashkov Agdorat Diyor Kev Chadom Mavim Baya Bifnei Atzma Veino Dan Bayem Kan Bim Chayal Yachid Yavol Lekvob Mezuzah Bedag Alo Yichlish Dagoy Miyesh Lavarach Lekvob Mezuzah Kegov Latzmo Oal Kviyat Mezuzah Kegov El Achirim. So the only question you're going to have to ask is, there's two different brachos you make when you put up a mezuzah. If you put it up on your own house, you say l'kvah mezuzah. If you put it up on someone else's house, you say al kviat mezuzah. Right? So Lichtenstein said there's a safek, because look, if you say, right, once you are mechadesh this notion that you can have a communal place, which is chayiv not because any particular Jew lives there, but because it is a Jewish home communally, right, even though no particular Jew lives there. So if you happen to be the Jew who currently is living there, so now there's two ways of looking at it. You're chayiv because even though you wouldn't have been chayiv had you been renting this from a non-Jew, you're chayiv now. Why?
Because you are the Jew.
Because you're the Jew who happens to be living in what is communally defined as a Jewish home. In which case, which bracha should you make? Likvo mezuzah. Or you could say no. No individual is really the one who's putting it up for himself. You're putting up on behalf of them, of the community. In which case, what brachot should you say? Right? So he said, that's an interesting lumdis question. And he says, his thought that we can't prove it, that depends whether you're an individual soldier or you are the general or whatever who's in charge of this base. Right? He says, if you're the general and if this is your space, right, you are a chrai. So he said, maybe that person would say, l'kvoa mizuzah, because it's really, right? It's his achrayus, it's his responsibility, right? Even though he doesn't live there, right?
For one person, not the community.
But if it's the soldier who's actually living there, but he's not achray on the whole thing, he's not responsible, so maybe al-kvayari, he's not sure, right? But I think, right, Rav Lichtenstein, first of all, he clarified some of the issues in ways we hadn't talked about, but then he adds this possibility that if it's really about a Jewish home, right, so yesh lomar, that there's something called a Jewish home, even with no specific Jew living there, right? Right, but Jews continuously living there, which would create a communal responsibility, right? And again, he said there's a certain suffix, because who is really the main chiyuvan for the words of brachos, but the fact that it should be chayv should be obvious, right? Because however you want to define a Jewish home by ownership, dwelling, and the like, there are certain cases where even if no particular person is there, right, you can't deny that the situation that's been created is one of a Beit Yehudi. Right, not the political party. Right, right. Right, that, God knows
where you went, right?
That...
They went to Dimri Towers.
No, they went to the...
Okay, guys. Shkoye!